Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. Today we're going to talk about the difference between attention seeking or a real need with a narcissistic mother. Is it ever a real need when a narcissistic mother has her own demands? And we're going to talk about how we can tell the difference between the two. So I'm going to start by asking you, does your mother ever ring you at crazy times to ask for things you know she could easily get done without you? Does she require you to do errands with her you know she could easily do by herself? Does she ask you to show her how to use things such as electronics or technology that's like one of the favorite go-to when she could easily figure it out by herself? Or maybe she even already knows how to use those things, but she seems to pretend she doesn't. Does that ever happen? Does she ever require you to sort and fix things for her when you have no idea how to, and she knows you don't, and calling a professional was the only thing to do from the start? If any of this is happening regularly with your mother and it's causing you to feel frustrated because her demands are getting more absurd, confused about her behavior because you don't understand why she has to call you all the time, bad about feeling she's an inconvenience to you, like you're a bad daughter for feeling that way, exhausted because you are running everywhere to satisfy her needs and demands, which never stop coming, guilty when you can't, exasperated by her not respecting your boundaries, and so on. I get it. And most of all, this behavior can leave you feeling stuck in an impossible situation because although you know most of her demands are absurd, she may actually need your help with things. You always have that doubt and you don't want to be a bad daughter and refuse to support her. But does she truly need help? Or is this another manipulation tactic? Of course, it is not universal that a mother who needs help with things is being a problem. It's okay to need help and ask for support, and it's a beautiful thing if this doesn't cause you any trouble and if you have a mother that respectfully asks for support and knows where your boundaries are, knows what your commitments are, maybe to your own family, to your work, and she respects your own time for yourself and all of that. And then in all of that, she also asks for support at times. That's all perfect. So if that's your situation, and if it doesn't cause you any issues I said before, like if you're not frustrated, if you're not feeling guilty, if you're not exasperated, if you're not exhausted and all of that, well, then that's all okay. But with a narcissistic mother, this needing for help, in inverted bracket, can be weaponized and transformed into a whole different thing. It can in fact be a manipulation tactic. The tactic we're talking about today is to appear weak and incapable for herself. And this goes together with a good dose of blame towards others who somehow put her in a position of needing support. Because if she didn't add that part, it would actually be admitting she's not inherently superior to the rest of the world, and she can't have that. If she's a narcissistic mother, she has this inherent feeling of superiority, and everyone else has to be at fault, but she's never responsible. She's never the one that takes the responsibility. So she can't actually admit that she can't do something just because she can't. Okay? There has to be blame going with that. This type of behavior is more common in the vulnerable narcissistic mother, who tends to be more subtle in her ways, more the victim of the situation, and therefore in need of your help. Like needing support to figure out her mobile phone, for example, or her computer, or any other technology, requiring you to answer her calls at all hours, or even go over to help, blaming the actual object itself, whoever constructed it, to be so inadequate, or even you, if you were the one who bought it for her, or if you didn't come fast enough, or if you're never there to help her when she needs, or whatever. So the blame part. I received an email from a listener mentioning how her mother will ask for advice in the use of her daughter's TV, despite having used it many times before, so she knows how to use it, but she just keeps on asking. And this behavior can be followed by blaming you for having such a device, for wanting to have such an expensive and complicated thing in your home, or the opposite, for having something that doesn't work, probably because it's so cheap. Either way, you may have noticed that it is never her fault in these situations, and there's never a clear admission of not knowing. It is always down to someone else and outer circumstances. And so she is forced to ask for help. She has no other choice but to ask for help. And also there's always an expectation that you should drop anything you were doing to run to give the demanded assistance. Whatever it is you're doing, that doesn't matter, it doesn't count. You just have to drop it and run. My mother used to need me quite a bit, actually, but the main thing was to run errands, to go places, to do things, which I would have done for her in my own time. Most of the times I could have just gone and do it. But no, she needed me there to do those things, but she was also going to be there too, although there was no point in being there together. And obviously this would happen at a time that worked for her. And ultimately, so my presence was totally unnecessary in the end. It was like just having to hold her hands while she was doing her errands effectively. But I used to drop everything and go, because only by doing that, I would receive some kind of validation, or at the very least, I was hoping to receive it. It's not that I always got it. But it was just my desperate need to please her, to have a connection with her, to be with her, to be the good daughter and whatever. So I would drop anything. I wouldn't give time to my own children in order to go and do that. I wouldn't give time to my own husband and partner in order to do that. I would sacrifice my own work and my own commitments in order to run and do whatever my mother wanted. And if I didn't, things did turn abusive, very emotionally abusive, questioning why I wouldn't do it, questioning every single answer I would give, if I actually had commitments that I couldn't shift, or if I actually tried to set a boundary, okay, that time doesn't actually suit me, then there was like a full analysis of anything that I was actually bringing as a reason, and they were all destroyed. Like, they were obviously always invalid. My reasons were never valid reasons. Her reasons were obviously the valid ones. But I didn't know all of that. I thought that that was just a normal mother-daughter relationship, and I thought that I was being bad by not doing the things, and I turned against my husband because I thought he was being bad by not just, you know, understanding that I had to go and do all of these things. He was being ridiculous, because it's obvious that as a daughter you have to do all of this crazy stuff, even though you sort of know the back of your head this makes no sense. But I felt that doubt that was always there. What if she genuinely needs me this time? What if it is a genuine request for support? Doesn't it make me selfish and a bad daughter if I don't help? Is it not my responsibility as a good daughter to answer when my mother needs help? So I'm going to ask you, do you ever feel like that? Because that was all going on inside of me each time I received one of those requests. And all of this can be amplified if your mother is living alone or if she's elderly. Like, when my mother was married, she had someone else to pester with her demands. It was easier in some ways, not always, but sometimes I was relieved and I could say no. But after when she was alone, when her marriage has failed, and then that became really difficult because again she was using the fact of being alone as a thing, you know, like I'm on my own and I can't do these things by myself and I need someone and you won't help me. And so obviously the guilt and all of that. So how can we know for sure if it's a genuine need or a tactic by a vulnerable narcissistic mother? This is really important to support in navigating that doubt and also navigating the guilt that can be there, because that's what a vulnerable narcissist will work on. My mother, when she was going through the periods when, and still now, when she goes through the periods where her life isn't going quite as she wants, she turns into a vulnerable narcissist. That's what she does. When things are really good, it's the other, it's more grandiose. But when things are bad, it's a vulnerable narcissist. So she will use guilt, and that's what a vulnerable narcissistic mother will use a lot. Guilt, 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 guilt. It's one of their main weapons. So let's go through this list of points that will just support you in tell the difference. Okay, if this is this a real genuine need for help and support, or is she just using a manipulation tactic on me? So the first thing is you will notice a disregard of boundaries. Okay, so if you notice that, then that's what that is. That is a manipulation tactic. If it was a genuine need for help, boundaries would be respected. So disregard for boundaries. She may call at any given time, even during the night. And of course, this can be the case when there's a true emergency. I can understand that if there is a true emergency, you're ringing me in the middle of the night because it's an actual emergency. Now, mind you, possibly ringing an ambulance was a better idea than to ring me, but I kind of can get. But you may have noticed how it never truly is actually a real emergency. It's hardly ever, and it could have waited until the morning, really. So this is a sign of simply using an excuse to infringe on your boundaries, to intrude on your boundaries. The next thing you may notice is that the request comes with blame, as we mentioned earlier. So blaming you or any other person she feels is responsible for her requiring help. She couldn't possibly be the one that can't do something unless someone else has made a mistake, had made a mistake and caused her to require help. And so now she's forced to contact you or ask for support, but there's a blaming. And this can be blaming of you directly or blaming of a whole bunch of other people, circumstances, or the whole lot in together. Also, you may notice that the request may come with shaming of you directly, so such as if only you were less selfish and more available, she would not need help right now. So it's kind of your fault. If only you had done what she had asked before, she would not be experiencing this inconvenience right now. So again, it's kind of your fault. There's a shaming of you and how you are doing things, how you've turned up, how you've supported her before, and your incapacity is causing her trouble now. So like it's shaming of you. Another thing that you may notice is that your support may be totally unnecessary, like the errands I mentioned with my mother, or the example for the list from the listener with the TV that the mother actually knows perfectly well how to use. So your support is unnecessary. She's just pretending that she needs it so that she can get your attention. Another thing you may notice is that after you helped, so you go with the demand, you go and help, and there's no expression of gratitude at all. It's kind of like you did what was your duty and responsibility, that's it. Unless, of course, there's to show off in front of others. In that case, she may actually say some thank you to you in a very sort of exaggerated way, but not necessarily. She could also very well say to you that to others that, oh, you finally came to help and play the victim with others, that she actually had to insist so much for you to actually come and help. So this could go either way, really, if there's others involved. But if there's no one, she mightn't even actually thank you. It's just you did what was your duty, that's it. The next point is that you may notice that the request comes with a side dish. Something like this: oh, you're here now, why don't you just stay for lunch? Which you may have said beforehand that it was a quick thing, you were just going in to help with whatever, but you were never going to stay longer. But again, that's just not taken into consideration. Or she could say something like, you're here now, also, why don't you help me with such and such and such? So from one demand, now you have like three or four on your hands. And from thinking you were going to be there for 10 minutes, now you're there for 3 hours. So more requests on top of the original one. The next thing you may notice is that the request comes with guilt tripping. So if you are unable to run to the rescue immediately, you will be guilted into it. Another thing is that the request may come with entitlement. Sort of like the lack of gratitude, they kind of go together, but she could say things such as, I'm your mother and you should be available for me, that's it. Or, I gave birth to you, it's the least you could do to help me with whatever. You know, so the entitlement, she is your mother, what she's done to you, now you gotta pay her back. You are in debt to her, you owe her, and so you gotta do what she says and what she asks. Another thing you may notice is that if you heed to her requests, you're a good daughter. If you don't, you're in her black books. And she will let you know about it directly or in a passive-aggressive way, such as, oh, I see you're too busy to help your poor mother. Or, I get how you must have better things to do. After all, you were always preoccupied with yourself first. So kind of like, yeah, I understand, but because you're a bad person or because you're selfish. Another thing that you may notice is that no matter what you do to help her, it's never actually really good enough. You've run to the rescue, you've done anything you could, and beyond, you've done all that she has asked you, one thing after the other, the entire list, and yet you haven't done enough. It's not good enough. There's still criticism coming your way. There's still some retort or some response that is not nice coming your way, despite the amount that you've just done. So that kind of goes a little bit beyond the lack of gratitude. It's not just the lack of gratitude. There is proper criticism of what you've achieved. And then the last thing is that if you don't run to the rescue, she may actually punish you. Like, there can be silence treatment. She could be speaking ill about you to others. She could be sending flying monkeys to let you know how disappointed in you she is or how hurt she is and so on. So there can be an actual punishment coming your way if you don't do what she is requesting. So that's sort of like, you might have noticed all of these things in the one mother, but some of this may apply to you. So does any of this sound familiar? Let me know if you have experienced any of these behaviors with your mother. You can share it with me in the comments or send me a private email to share your experience and if you have any more questions on this. But why does she do this? Why does she do this? The answer is, she needs attention. A narcissistic mother needs constant attention. And she has figured out many different ways to get it. She knows what works with you. She has conditioned you since childhood to feel guilty, to feel responsible for her, to feel that boundaries are bad, to feel like you have to earn her love and approval and so on. And she knows which buttons to push to trigger all that in you. So if her behavior is any of the above, chances are it is not a genuine need for support, but one of her many ways to get attention, to control you, and to get her needs met. And the more you give and oblige, the more the demands will increase until you feel like you have no space left for yourself, until you have no time for your own life, for your kids, for your work, and so on. This kind of behavior can actually completely destroy your life. It can get extreme to the point that you are living completely to serve your mother's demands, and everything that is your life comes not just second, it comes like last. You could end up being completely at her beck and call and absolutely doing nothing for yourself, all the way to the point of actually not having a life, being on your own, not having a partner, not having your own family, not even having a job, because you are just so invested in constantly running after this person that constantly needs you. And she has ways to make you feel so bad and so guilty and so inadequate and so responsible for her that you just go and do that. So if that is your experience, I want you to know, first of all, that you're not alone in this. It's not your fault. You're not a bad person for feeling like that is too much, because it is too much. That is not a healthy mother-daughter relationship. You are not responsible for your mother. Your mother is responsible for you. That the energy goes that way. A parent is responsible for their children. And that really never actually ends in a way like... I know my mother used to always say, oh, and you're 18 now, you know, I've done my job, and, you know, I'm not responsible for you anymore, which used to hurt quite a bit. But as a mother now, I know, like, it doesn't ever, that energy flow doesn't ever really stop. It changes, it evolves, it transforms as the children grow, definitely, but it doesn't actually stop. And completely just, you know, you never wash your hands of your kids. But the other way around, it's toxic. You are not responsible for your parents. You're not. You don't owe them anything. You're not indebted to them. None of that. So let's see for a moment. How can you protect from this manipulation tactic? There's just a couple of things. It's about 5 points of what you can do to actually protect yourself and start changing this dynamic. So the first thing is boundary setting. Here it's really important, because clearly this behavior is completely based on you not having boundaries. She's going to continue with her demands until you set boundaries. You are never going to be able to change her. You can't tell her to stop asking for help. You can't tell her, oh, this is manipulation tactic, stop doing that, because she will not admit to that. She doesn't know that that's a manipulation tactic, really, on a conscious level. And she will never, anyways, if she's a narcissistic mother or if she has narcissistic strong traits, she will never admit to her being in the wrong. So the only thing that you can do is setting boundaries around yourself. So deciding how, when, and where you're gonna help, if you're gonna help, what, you know, today is a day where I'm not gonna respond to my mother, so I am not. Today is a day where I'm gonna do my own things because I have these commitments, so I'm gonna stick with that. Those are the boundaries you can set to yourself. And no matter what she does, no matter how she comes at you, no justification, no explanation, and no reaction. That's the formula. So it's boundaries around yourself, no justification, no explanation, no reaction. The second point is become aware of the fact that this behavior is just that, a manipulation tactic, and that the guilt you feel is a triggered response caused by the conditioning you received growing up. This is important, important. I get so many emails, so many messages about guilt, 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 guilt. And I get it. I have been destroyed by guilt for the best part of my life. So I really, really, really get it, how that is such a big thing. But I want to say this again. So the guilt you feel is a triggered response caused by the conditioning you received growing up. I know it doesn't make it any less a real feeling that you're feeling in the moment, okay? I get that it's true that you're feeling guilt. I was feeling guilt and a lot of it. But this awareness has really helped me a lot in moments when my boundaries were going to crumble, which would have had a negative consequence in my life. When you understand that the guilt you are feeling is a triggered response to the conditioning you received growing up, you actually start understanding that it has nothing to do with what's happening in the moment. Because why would you be feeling guilty if your mother can't use her phone and that she could just go to a phone shop and get it fixed there, get someone else to explain it to her, or any other circumstance where you are actually doing what's necessary in your own life to have a happy life, to have a happy marriage, to have your career, to do whatever it is that you want to do, to dedicate time to your own children, to dedicate time to yourself. And this other person, because of her own choices and decisions, she seems to be unable to actually go and ask help to anyone else but you. The present situation is not actually the reason for the guilt. The guilt comes from the constant conditioning that we've received growing up as small children. And that's what makes it so intense. So when you start understanding that, you can start actually give it the right dimension in the moment and go, yeah, that is what I'm feeling, and it's okay that I'm feeling that. I'm not a bad person for feeling that. I'm not broken for feeling that. But also, I can still set my boundaries and feel that at the same time. And you will start noticing how in time, the more you set your boundaries, the more you get grounded in yourself, the more you do your inner work, the less intense that guilt becomes. The third point is be like a gray rock. When she asks something you can't do, say you can't, say no, but then give no reaction to whatever she does or says next. Keep saying you can't. So to ask for help, that's not wrong. There's nothing bad in asking for help. So if there is a request, could you come and do such and such for me today? Up until this point, we can say we're okay. What happens next is the issue, because you may say, no, actually, today I've got this other thing to do. And then there's one or more of all the above that we've listed earlier. So she can try to guilt you, she can give out to you, she can insist, she can analyze all your reasons and, you know, say that they're not valid and whatever. She can start crying on the phone, she can start yelling, telling you you're a bad person, whatever. So that is the part where you give no reaction. She can go, oh, but I need your help and you are the only person. And you're like, yeah, but I can't today. So it's either going to be tomorrow or never. Ah, but what? Like, I can't call anyone else. And how could you be such a bad daughter? Blah, blah, blah. Or she could start crying. Oh my God, but I'm here. I'm all on my own and whatever. Yeah, but I can't today. It's either going to be tomorrow or never. And you can also say, you're lying, like, it's either going to be tomorrow, and if you keep on insisting, I'm going to hang up right now. And if she just goes mental again, or if she says whatever again, you go, okay, I'm hanging up now, goodbye. You can do that. This needs practice. I know I have done it several times, not just with my mother, but with other members of my narcissistic family. And the aftermath can be intense, because you can obviously displaying no reaction and be like a gray rock in front, you know, when you're in a call or in front of the person. It's a little bit easier on the phone than it is in person, especially at the beginning. But that doesn't mean that there aren't emotions that get triggered inside and that they need to be processed afterwards. So make sure that afterwards you get support or that you have tools available to you, whether it's like some breathing techniques, whether you're going for a walk, whether you're, I don't know, going screaming a pillow, like literally, or the anything, shake it off, do anything that can support you in regulate again afterwards. Because especially at the beginning, we practice, it can get better, of course, but at the beginning, although you give no reaction, emotions will still be triggered. So that's important. The number four is offer the alternative that feels best for you and leave it at that. That can be another way. So she doesn't have to accept the alternative you give. This is important. That is her choice, but you can give it. So if she's ringing you or if she's contacting you because you need to run to her, you have to fix her TV because her TV has stopped working. What you can do is, I can't fix your TV for you and I can't come right now. The best option would be for you to call the helpline and leave it at that. You have actually helped. You have offered her a very reasonable alternative, empowering her, and it's really simple. If she doesn't want to take that alternative, then that is her problem. That is her choice. That has nothing to do with you. So again, we go back to the no reaction, no justification, no explanation. You just gave your boundary. You can't today. You're not able to fix it, which is true. And here is your alternative. And that's that. And if, again, if she insists, if she gets angry or if she starts crying or whatever, you repeat your line and you can say, if you continue, I'm going to leave or I'm going to hang up or I'm not going to return your call for the rest of your day or the day, whatever, like whatever is your closing line. And just stick to that. And again, if emotions get triggered, that's your own inner work afterwards. That's nothing to do with her. There's no point in telling her, oh, you're making me feel guilty or you're making me cry or you're making me feel bad or whatever. She that's what she wants, actually. The minute you give her that reaction, she's getting attention. She's becoming the center of your world. And she's getting what she wants. She doesn't care if you don't go to fix her TV. But if you're having a meltdown on the phone or you're getting angry at her, she's getting a fix of attention. And I know that it sounds weird because that's not really nice attention. It's negative attention, but she doesn't care. Attention is attention. So anytime you have a reaction to her, you're giving her attention. You're giving her what she wants. So have no reaction. And then afterwards, you go deal with your own emotions, with the support that you have, whatever support, if it's your support circle, if it's your therapist, your mentor, your guide, if it is a recorded practice like the self-love guided practice that's available on my website, that's free and you can access that anytime. So anything, any tool that you have to regulate and to support you in processing or shifting or moving through the wave of emotion that has been triggered, that's your part. And then the fifth point is, remember, you're not responsible for her. You're not. You're not responsible for her life. You're not responsible for her emotions. You're not responsible for her choices. The fact that you feel like that, that's a conditioning received from childhood, but it is not true. You're not responsible. That's what she wants you to believe, because that's a really handy way to control you. But it's not actually true. You're not responsible. And I know, again, this is something that we need to keep reminding ourselves, because the conditioning has been to feel constantly responsible for this person. And so, and society kind of doesn't help in that, because it sort of tells you like you are, but you're not. So keep reminding yourself that. And I just want to add that what I noticed in my own experience, not just with my own various amount of narcissistic people in my family and in my partner's family, but also with clients that I work with, is that narcissists are quite resilient, really. As in, when they lose interest in you because you're no longer meeting their needs, they tend to move on. My mother has done that multiple times. She's even like sort of pretended to adopt other kids, take them under their wings, because myself and my sister weren't meeting her needs, and so she just found someone else that did, in a really twisted way. So they are very resilient. So you might feel like if you don't run to your mother's rescue anytime she calls, she will be desperate and helpless. That is what she wants you to believe. But the reality is that more often than not, they find other ways to meet their needs. They find other sources, you know, to fill their tank, which can be hurtful in itself, because it is not nice to realize you are indeed quite replaceable in the eyes of your own mother. It was very painful at the time when my mother just moved all her attention to another child that was not her biological child. Yeah, that did hurt a lot at the time, especially not knowing about maternal narcissism, but about how it works. Now that I know it, I can see the reason why she did that and the mechanism. It had nothing to do with me or my sister not being good enough. It's 100% to be with the fact that we had set boundaries without a lot of awareness, but we had set boundaries and she couldn't deal with that. But it can be helpful to be aware of this fact when we feel a lot of guilt for setting some very necessary boundaries, to understand that actually she will find some other source to meet her needs. Or even just the story, you know, like to the fact that she didn't help her and that she has a story to go tell her friends or the people around her or whoever, that you are such a bad person and you didn't help her, that fills her tank. So there you go. She has her needs met. I know it's not nice, but that's just her finding another way to meet her needs. And if you can sort of see the mechanism, that can really support you in the moments when you're feeling a lot of guilt. So I also want to say that with this episode, I do not mean to imply you should not help your mother. That's not what I'm saying. There are no shoulds, as in you should help or you shouldn't help. There's no such thing as that. You'll never hear me saying that. And I would never advise such a thing, because your personal choices are yours, and what feels right by you, it's what feels right by you, and I honor and respect that fully and completely. So that's where I stand whenever I do an episode. The invitation, however, is to be aware of this manipulation tactic so that you can make your own informed choices every time she calls for help. You can choose to help when this feels okay by you, when it's right by you. You have your own inner compass. You can tell when this feels right by you, when this is okay. And also, and after this episode, what I invite you to know is that you are allowed to set boundaries to protect yourself and to protect your life too. That's actually the only point here. It's like, all those feelings, the feeling of guilt and feeling frustrated and feeling exhausted and feeling like your attention is constantly towards your mother, and realizing you are not able to create your own life because there's this like person that constantly demands your attention and that has all these needs and all of that. That can be really, really, really difficult and intense to navigate. So you are allowed to set your boundaries, protect yourself, protect your heart, protect your life, prioritize yourself, your children if you have, your partner if you have, your life, your own life, and your own heart. You're allowed to do that. And so my hope with this episode is to offer you the awareness and the capacity to make your own choices and decisions, whether you want to help or not, whether you want to be available or not, and when you want to be available or not, informed decisions, to have the awareness to make those decisions in an informed way, not like I was years ago, that I had no idea that this was a manipulation way, and I thought I was a bad person. So that's the purpose of this. And as always, take what serves you and leave the rest, because it's probably there for someone else that needs to hear it. And share with me your experience. Share this episode with anyone you feel might benefit for it. That's always appreciated. And if you feel called to work with me, either one-on-one or within the support of the Women's Circle, check the links in the description of the episode where all the offerings are listed. So with that, I'm gonna send you lots of love and say bye for now.